doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
I got to drive to the ground round in Brooklyn Center, get on a bus with 45 idiots, drive an hour and a half to St. Cloud, watch a game I don't care about, get back in a bus with 45 drunken idiots, and drive back to Minneapolis, not get back to town till about 1:30 in the morning. What do you think of that? You know, the more I think about this, the more pissed I am about it.
I like the shock value of the timeout entertainment. For instance, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They should have a real Timberwolf. From the scoreboard, they should lower down a cage with a little rabbit in it and then let the Timberwolf inside that cage with that rabbit and let him chase him around there for a while. And if he gets hold of him and shakes him around and they're all like that for a little while, and there's a little blood going around, so what? The people would love it.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
It's a slippery slope.
You're an idiot! You're an idiot! I gotta go! I can't take it anymore! What a complete stooge! Have you, honest to God, he's got to be the biggest stooge ever! Did you hear him?
I will change the station. How's that?
Oh, no, not that! Anything but that! Oh, he hung up! See, again, that's what happens when people, when they try to match wits with the common man and they can't. He knew I had him backed into a corner. It was like a referee stopping the fight. He had to hang up.
This email says, you are beyond stupid. You sound like a 12-year-old in a 40-year-old body. Beyond dumb, more stupid than can be imagined. KFAN, we'll be back at 2 when somebody with a brain shows up. Though I would say to Space Exclamation Guy, I am smart enough to figure out how to get paid 6 figures for working 2 hours a day. You call me anything you want. Just call me. Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, I'm an idiot. But I got a lot of money. Yeah. Well.
What do you want to do since we got about 15 minutes?
Well, we were thinking maybe a little Sean Bradley for... that Stoico guy.
If it was me, I would never impose on somebody else. I would not. I'm there at 1, aren't I? Am I there at 1 or am I there at 1? What time am I there? My show starts at 1. I don't call up the sports babe and say, you got to go an extra 20 for the fan today because Common's going to be late. I mean, that doesn't work that way.
Get the sports babe. You can get 3 of them in this town. They all have sports pages. Read them all from cover to cover. Then read them a second time. Then read them a third time upside down. And then eat the son of a bitches when you're done. What do you think of that? Eat those newspapers. Just eat the sports page. Just devour it. Sports, 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 sports. We don't care that much about sports here. What do you think of that? We just don't. And you're not going to get us to change. What do you think of that?
What is this all about? I just walked in and caught the tail end. What was that all about? What were you doing there?
Well, you've been working at KFAN for 25 years now. It's your 25-year anniversary.
Has it been 25 years, really?
Yeah.
I would have never guessed. I don't keep track of those kinds of things. Milestones mean nothing to me. Other than I can tell you the first time I ever broke 90 and the first time I ever broke 80 and the ever First time I ever shot even par, better. So I remember those milestones, but when it comes to employment, well, I will remember when the end of the end of the end arrives.
No!
And I know it's coming, I just don't know when. But I know that the end of the end of the end comes for each one of us. Well, thanks for that.
Sure.
We're not going to make a big deal about it today, are we? Is it today? Was today my 25th anniversary?
No, Friday was.
Why did we wait till today?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I'm interim.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Well, that was kind of fun. Why don't you do this? Why don't you get on the phone and call a bunch of people I used to work with or former, you know, old-time listeners, some of the first moniker people. Let's call them and have them, you know, talk about how wonderful I am.
I love that one.
How great I am. How well I'm doing. How well I've done. Where I've been, where I'm going, where I'm at. It was a bit uncomfortable last week for a couple reasons. One, I'm really not much about verbally slapping myself on the back. That's nothing I really like to do. I generally leave that for others. You blindsided me with it last week. I did not know it was coming. I really did not. The whole idea was to make fun of those that closed circuit Mark Rosen, that like to make big deals about that they mean a lot to them.
Sure.
50 years working at the TV station. I've been working there 25 years or 30 years of that, and that just, all that means is that you were able to keep a job for another year. You know, every year that goes, hey, I kept my job for another year, right? Sometimes it means you just couldn't find any better. It's not because, well, you're so good at what you do. It's just like, it beats the alternative.
Yeah.
Right? They're just, last I checked, Costas, Rome, and Rome wasn't built in a day. Costas, Rome, Dan Patrick, Francesa. Yeah. They're just not coming here to Minneapolis to do middays.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think they are, particularly for the kind of money they're paying me. And I'm doing fine, please. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it pales in comparison to what they make, so they wouldn't do that. The other why I felt a bit uncomfortable, because going into the show Friday, I think people realize and maybe this is part of the reason that we're fourth in the North, I really don't know what we're going to talk about. I mean, I got a general idea of some of the topics we're going to talk about, but I don't know. It's all kind of willy-nilly. It's just slapped together. We garden, we throw a couple of seeds in the ground, put a little water on it, hope the sun shines, and get from a point A to point B, A being the start of the show, B being the end. But I realized when I walked in Friday and walked into the Abbott's office, Chad Abbott's office, our program director, I thought, oh, here we go again. It's going to be one of those talk about a school shooting.
Yeah.
It was Friday. It happened Friday morning, the Santa Fe shooting.
Yeah.
And so then when we started talking about how wonderful it is to get by 25 years and all the nonstop nonsense, tomfoolery and skullduggery that we've enjoyed over the 25 years, it almost felt...
Sure.
I mean, again, I know you have to do what you have to do.
And we knew at the time.
Yeah, you can't just shut things down, right?
Yeah, people taking their day off to come here. And yeah.
And so it's like life does go on. At least it does for those of us not directly involved. For 10 people, their lives do not go on. And then it's changed the lives of each and every one of those people. And you always wonder how I'm going to approach that show. And I was talking to Big Ticket about it. The word he used is it all seems trite, which is true. It's like, am I going to go on there and I don't want to say poetic about a kill, but you know what I mean? I want to say this so eloquently that I sound like I'm really affected by it. And how do I share express my sorrow and my grief and my sorrow, grief alarm and can't believe this is happening again. How do I do that in a way that hasn't been done before and you really can't? As a matter of fact, I told you on the golf course today, we played golf together today, and I told you about how I actually can't wait for the end of the school year because I feel like my kids are safer at home than they are at school.
Sure.
As the details have been revealed since Friday, it's almost... Well, obviously, it's becoming way too commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, a sense of complacency sets in where it's like, oh, you heard about the shooting, didn't you? Yeah, it was awful. Did you hear? So what's for dinner tonight? You know,
sure.
It's just like, because what do you do? And as the details have been revealed on this one, it has all the earmarks of the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. At least a lot of them. Copycat. Apparently the kids studied other school shootings. Quiet. Nobody really thought he was off kilter, but he's quiet. He had apparently, if I'm not mistaken, been embarrassed publicly by a gal he had been pursuing.
Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with him, and eventually, like in a classroom or something, she embarrassed him. And again, I'm not, please, I hope people realize I'm not blaming. I'm not blaming her. I'm not saying that's what, you know, tipped him in that direction to commit the heinous act that he did. But you start adding all those ups. Avid video game player. I'm not asking for the abolishment of video games. I'm just saying you add all the teenage angst, maybe some mental illness, easy availability of guns, all of it. Just, it's all of these that are just, they've just become part and parcel of every single school shooting that we see. And the inability to really, again, this school had armed guard. They had two armed officers. I don't know if they're actual really sheriff's department or police people, but they are people employed by the school that are armed that are in that school. They had gone through, they had a false alarm a few weeks before that they thought might be an intruder. So they were ready for lockdowns. They had gone through the drills before, and yet it did not prevent another. I don't have all the numbers in front of me of how many school shooting it's been since Columbine, but it's been several hundred, I think. I do know that the one note I heard was there have been more people killed, students and faculty, in school shootings this year than there have been members of the United States Armed Forces that have lost their
lives.
So you're actually, I know the numbers are different. There's so many more people going to school than there are in the armed services.
Sure.
But you still look at it and go like, yeah, you're almost better off being in the, you know, maybe I should let my kid in. Maybe I should just, you know, let him quit school. And of course, you got to be 18 to join the military,
yeah.
I think. It's like, you know, they almost seem to be, they're better off. They're at least they're armed.
That's an amazing number.
They're armed there. At least if you're in the armed services, you got a gun. Maybe some body armor. And so it's, and there again, there really are no answers. Some of the answers that are coming out are ones we've discussed before. I've said it before, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, and people dismiss it. You do need, there should be people with, but even having people with firearms doesn't guarantee anything, because if they get in the school, even if they're stopped short of a, you know, killing 10, 20, 30, just one or two is too many, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get in the school, and even if they're armed guards, are they going to be in the right place at the right time? If they're on the south, if you have two armed guards and one's on the west wing of the school and the other's on the south wing of the school, and the kid enters on the north wing of the school, he's going to kill some people, right? He just is. It's going to be different. What are the chances? You know, not every teacher is going to be armed. And even if every teacher is armed, you kick a door open and you start firing. By the time teacher scrambles for their gun in the desk or on a hole, there's still going to be people. It's, as I've suggested before, and people keep telling me it's not feasible. There's not enough money, and it's just, there's too many schools. But you have to treat them like prisons. It's sad that you have to, but, and again, even no matter how many precautions you take, there are still no guarantees, right? But what they need is chain link fences with barbed wire and one entrance in, and that's it. You can't get in any other way. You can't prop doors open. I get it. Well, what if there's a fire? There's never a fire in a school. Okay. They don't happen. But you have a main switch in the main office or a couple different places in a custodial place where if there is a fire, somebody hits the switch and then all the doors open that way. Has to be somebody who spotted a fire, not just a fire alarm being pulled by some kid in school. And one way in, one way out. I know metal detectors are crazy in school, but that's what has to be done. Unless you can come up with something better. Come up with an idea. Nobody can. So to tell me my ideas, it's of all the different ineffective and no guaranteed way of preventing any school shootings there are,
the ideas we've come up with that others have too and are starting to more. Now they're starting to say, well, we got it. We can't just keep doing nothing and just going, well, you know, our hearts and our prayers are with the deceased. And, you know, we got to do some gun control here and we got to do some better mental health screening. And as well, yeah, guess what? That's not working and it's not going fast enough.
At least try something.
Yeah.
I know there's no perfect idea that everyone agrees on, but try something.
That's what I would do. So, and until we get to theirs, I don't know. So it does. It took a little bit. I appreciate though the effort you put into it, and everybody coming in and stuff. But for me, it was hard. I'm not at all. Oh, you're the only one that's affected. Look at he's showing his emotional side. Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's how I feel, and it's just I don't know how we get around it. But again, now we have to move on today. So I'll do what I hope is an effective tease. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. I'll explain when we return to the Common Man program here on The Fan. It's the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast. Amana Brand from our KFAN studios, the sports animal. I'm the Radio Romeo, the dream of the everyday housewife. We're expecting cloudy skies today, low 60s for a high. Tomorrow, some sunshine. Ideal. Mercury should play tag with 79 right now in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. 58 degrees, cloudy skies, 1978. Diesel, the Sausalito Summer Nights, and you're home for the hits. We call ourselves the Sports Animal. Sausalito. I don't want to get this into a all day. What do we do about school shootings? But again, here's... This is where you get nowhere. Here's this email. I just love this. Doors. Seriously? Turning our institutions of learning into prison compounds is ridiculous. We need to limit the number of ease. We need to limit the number of and ease of access to guns. If they aren't so easy to get and have, then they won't be around to use for this purpose. Signed, Rick. Okay. Living your little dream world, Rick. So, tell me, maybe you could Google this. Why don't you Google right now how many firearms are there in the United States of America right now? Why don't you Google that once and just tell me what that number is? How many millions are there? People are just going to turn them in, right? We're just all going to turn them in. Everybody's going to show up. We'll go to city halls and sheriff departments all over the country, go to state capitals, just start turning in our firearms. That'll happen.
More than a third of Americans say they or someone in their household owns a gun. Various estimates range from 270 million to 310 million guns in the United States.
310 million guns. They're going to get turned in real quick. That's going to work. Rick, I agree with that. That'd be great. I like it. I think, you know, but you can't do it because you got the right to bear arms, people, and that's fine. I get it. I understand. People feel safer with a gun. If nobody had a gun, then I know the command. Oh, that is fine. Otherwise, to kill people. I know they would. I get it, but it would still be more difficult. But that's not going to happen. My guess is Rick, and maybe Rick's got children, and maybe he thinks that's a great answer. It's just, let's start regulating our guns more. We've been doing that forever. I'm sorry. The guns are never going away. The genie's out of the bottle. Cat's out of the bag. What else do I use? Genie's out of the bottle, cat's out of the bag.
Well, he wasn't saying eliminating guns, was he?
Well, no, but he says we need to limit the number of and ease of access to guns.
Yeah.
Let me guess, you think that's going to work too? Okay, great.
I don't think there is one solution that's going to work.
I agree with that.
There's many variables,
right.
But it doesn't mean regulating guns in some way or form a little bit, making it harder to get.
I'm with you. Okay. I'm 100% with
you. Okay.
But that's not working right now. Stop it. Stop the nonsense about guns. Something needs to be done today. And today is making... And if, I know it's ridiculous to make our institutions into prison compounds. Well, okay, why don't you tell all the families that have lost children, including the last one, that they would be better off if it wasn't a compound. I'm tired of the nonsense. You have to do something. And right now, that's making them into prisons until you can eliminate the gun problem. But the gun problem is not going to be changed overnight. And they can change overnight by how they allow access into the school by children. You can do that tomorrow.
They've done it on airplanes. They've done it on stadiums.
You can do it tomorrow.
There's only one way into this school. And there's going to be an armed guard at that school. And there's going to be a metal detector. And every kid that comes through has to go through it. Now, could a kid, as he's approaching the school, pull out a gun before he gets... There's no foolproof system. But I don't want some kid walking up with a gun. Sorry. Turning your institutions of learning into prison compounds is ridiculous. No, it's not. It's not ridiculous. On the surface, it appears to be. I get that. So what's Rick's, so how are we going to start limiting the number of ease of access to guns? The guns are already out there. So we can't limit that number unless we start confiscating them. So right now there are 310 million firearms out there. Access to, how are you going to keep those people from getting those guns? They already have them in their hands. This kid apparently got them from his old man. I don't know. We still don't know. Have we heard? Did the old man give them to them? I mean, did were they not locked up? I'm not saying he gave them the guns and said, here, son.
Yeah.
But were they not locked up? I mean,
Don't know.
Here's the other thing. Do you know 7 out of 10 people you run across every day are stupid? So there are people that are not going to keep their guns under lock and key. And there are people that are going to keep illegal, law-abiding citizens in general, right? Hold down a job, pay taxes, would never consider using their gun in a way that was used the other day in Florida or in Texas. But because they don't take the time or the effort to make sure that gun is safely put away and don't pay enough attention to their kids to realize, is it illegal to wear a black trench? This kid, again... Apparently his journal was filled and his social media had a picture of Born to Kill. Isn't that an alarm bell to somebody? I'm asking. I don't have all the answers. I'm just throwing this stuff. I'm going with what I read and what I hear. It's just craziness. I would rather have my institutions of learning, a prison compound, than have kids dead. Sorry. If your choice is institutions of learning are prison compounds or dead or kids that can come and go with a gun in any door they want and shoot kids dead, it's going to happen again, folks. Maybe this week. Maybe next week. Well, you saw the number. How many have there been so far this year? They're on average of like 3.5 a month. Some don't get as many headlines because, well, there's only, got him after only killing two, just two this time. Boy, this is a low body count. All right. Whatever. If low body counts are, I'm all for, I think, I've said this before, I think the world would be a better place. We all agree the world would be a better place without guns. I don't know what they do in other countries. They don't have shootings like this. I don't know what the laws are in the other countries. I hear about European countries, very few shootings. I think they have stiffer gun laws. I don't know.
I saw an infographic from CNN that had school shootings since 2009.
Yeah.
The United States, 288.
Yeah.
The next closest country is Mexico at 8.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is it all just guns? No. Is part of it? I mean, in this case, I mean, who's the gal that's... Dana Loesch is her name. She's spokesperson for NRA. It's the media's fault. Well, the media, I'm not saying that publicizing these shootings don't play into that. The kid said, I only shot people I didn't know because I wanted the people I know to tell my story. So, yeah, there's no question that. See, I didn't even want to go down this road, and here I am. Here I am. Why just this condescending, seriously, turning our institutions of learning to prison compounds is ridiculous. Really, Rick? It's ridiculous, huh? Tell that to the people. Ask the family members of and the classmates of those dead in Santa Fe and at, was it Stoneman High School in Florida and all the other ones, if they think they would rather have a institution of higher learning like a prison compound, or they'd rather be mourning the deaths of friends and family members. Why don't you just ask them? The idea that it's the idea that you don't do something such as that is the thing that's ridiculous. If you're waiting for gun legislation, you'll be waiting until you're blue in the face, and the schools will be littered with hundreds, yes, hundreds of dead bodies. So stop it already. And I did the kitty, kitty, kitty. It was about the big meow. Kitty, kitty, kitty. Because isn't it Los Angeles they think he might be going to? Is that what the story I saw? I mean, I saw a story from somebody that said, L.A. should pursue this guy. And so now all these different... Are we even sure that the big meow is unhappy there? Or is it just two guys that work for a blog? Do we know? Do we have any indication?
Yeah, the podcast happened, and then it kind of spread like a wildfire.
Well, do the podcast guys have any idea what they're talking about? Because we've done that before.
I mean, they are NBA analysts.
We are too. And remember that time that we basically said we heard about a trade involving the Wolves and the Phoenix Suns? Then all of a sudden, the Phoenix radio station went with an informed NBA source told. Remember, we had the great bit where they were basically running with our rumor, which wasn't true. So I'm not even sure if I believe that. We'll discuss it as we go by, but I have to take a break and catch my breath here on the Common Man program on The Fan.
Stan Cole, The Common Man. Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Don't miss the Bare Naked Ladies along with Better Than Ezra and KT Tunstall live at Mystic Lake at 7 p.m. on June 1st. Stay tuned to The Fan this week to hear how you can win tickets. Tickets are on sale now. Find out more at kfan.com, keyword events.
Covers of this song. Nobody's covering this, are they? Or were you not doing the covering thing today?
Well, I will search after to see.
But that wasn't your intention today?
No.
Is that bit run its course, you think?
I just heard the song this weekend and wanted
didn't
to
you
play
like?
It. Yeah, I like the song.
It's all right. It's called They Don't Write Them Like That Anymore. Certainly Greg Kinn doesn't. It's the last hit he wrote. This was about 30 years ago. So he certainly isn't writing like that anymore. Someone also suggested, said, well, you know, some schools have 3,500 people. That's going to take 40 minutes to get all those people through one entrance. Okay, so schools last 40 days, 40 minutes longer a day. Let's see, what would be better? School being 40 minutes longer a day or carnage in our schools three times a month. Well, I think 40 minutes a day sounds like better to me. So there you go. We've got over that hurdle.
It takes us a lot longer to get through security at airports now.
Yeah.
Since 9/11.
And somebody else, we have to work on the mental health. Yeah. But that you don't just snap your fingers and mental health is taken care of. You can snap your fingers and security's fixed.
Not to mention, how do you do that?
Well, that's it.
I mean, it's one thing to just say, hey, let's work on mental health, but how do you do that?
Well, you don't just do it, because then you have to identify which kids seem to have mental illness. Then you have to move them in, and a lot of them aren't even, let's face it, some of them aren't really willing to go along with the idea that they have some issues and they need some help, right? And how many times do you seem normal to me? Normal everyday kid? Can't believe it. This kid seemed to be, for the most part, pretty normal, right? So if you're wearing a trench coat to school every day in Santa Fe, Texas, where it gets to be 100 degrees, if I'm in Texas and it's 100 degrees every day and there's a kid wearing a trench coat to school, does that necessarily mean he's the next school shooter? No, but there's an issue there. Take a couple phone calls before we talk about the Big Meow moving on. My sources say the Big Meow will be moving on. Stan, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had an idea about things to make the school safer, mm-hmm. is to maybe make like substations for the police officers in the city in different schools throughout all the cities.
They've got it at Mall of America. There's a police department at Bloomington Police Department at the Mall of America. Yeah,
and that would deter, I think, deter maybe some of that from happening.
It might deter some. I would agree. That's a mighty fine. And you know what? That's something that can be. See, you know what I like? Thanks, Stan. You know what I like about Stan? He's a man of action. That's the man of action. Man of action. That's something that can be done right now. Every police department can say, "Hey, we're going to take." You know, now again, it's not as easy as it sounds. I get that because let's say like in where I live in Woodbury, how many schools are in Woodbury? You got Manley, Lane, Jerry, 4, 5, at least 6 or 7 elementary schools, I think, or elementary/middle schools,
mm-hmm.
a couple of high schools. Ah, you know, it's a lot of police officers. How do you spread them all out? I don't know. It's a place to start, right? Jake's next. You're on the fan, Jake.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment. I just worry about when we start talking about these, like limiting the number of entrances and exits into a school, and then you get these kids that, you know, come in, pull the fire alarm, and yep. there's a limited amount of access, and then that's a choke point for yep. a kid with an assault rifle.
Right.
I guess I'll just hang up and see what you think about that.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, I did mention that earlier, that if you have only one exit point, you pull the fire alarm, people go running, they have to go to the one spot. Well, you wouldn't do that. Let's face it. What do we have more of? Infernos at school, tragic fire deaths or shooting deaths? Somebody tell me the last time there was a fire at a school. You can't because it never happens. Never. Never. There's never a fire at a school. Just isn't. Doesn't happen. Doesn't mean it can't, but they never happen. When was the last time you heard about a fire at a school? I can't.
The school shooting seems to happen at a much higher rate.
I would say so. So, and again, you have where, again, I know a lot of these things I'm talking about cost money as well, but I think we might be about to build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and that's cost a lot of money, too. I mean, yeah, stuff costs money, divert money. I mean, the country's so far in debt anyways. What's add a few billion dollars? So, no, he's right. I mean, but what you have is there has to be safeguards for that, too. If there has to be a way to detect if there really is a real fire, and if there is, then there is a place where, like, for instance, like, I know in prison, and we're talking about making them into prisons, they can, like, lock and unlock all the doors from one central location. So they have a lockdown in the prison, right? Let's say there's a riot going on. And they all electronically close. Same thing. If there's a real fire going on, well, then you open it up. All the doors become open. I don't know. Maybe it's too simplistic. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm just looking for something we can do immediately and now and do something instead of waiting for gun control legislation, or because, I mean, to me, you know, if you can limit the access of guns that kids get, people that are willing to get, that's great. But I think that, again, is much easier said than done. And the mental health thing, I agree with that, too. These kids need help. But that's not going to happen overnight either. That's just not an overnight thing. And is the security issues I'm talking about, can that happen just overnight? Well, maybe not, but it can sure happen much quicker, I think. I don't know. I'm looking for answers. Maybe Brian's got one. Brian, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Well, I can't say that I have any answers for either comment, but I think you can throw all sorts of gun legislation, and you can put armed guards at the school, which I personally think is more of a after the shooting starts, not more of a preventative thing.
Right.
You can add security checkpoints. You can do all this. But the bottom, to get to the core root of this problem, until we can convince the people who are doing bad bad habit on a daily basis at these schools, like students treating each other with poor respect or whatnot. Until we can convince them and plead with them that they need to change the way they behave, and it's not just the students, it's many other people that need to change the way they're thinking about this situation. Until we can get that to happen, it's going to go nowhere fast. And as far as gun control, how many years have we gone through this whole gun control thing trying to fix this? It's not going anywhere. So thanks
for my phone call. Here's an emailer that says, my kids get on the bus at 6:50 a.m., get off at 3:50, another 40 minutes plus sports and activities. No. Capitalized.
Okay.
All right. Emailers against adding 40 minutes to the school day. And again, adding the 40 minutes to the school day in the one entrance, again, does not guarantee there won't be some. I get that. There's no guarantees in any of this. But I think it limits it. Sure helps, right? There's only one place. Kid can't come in a side door somewhere. I don't know. Maybe they're all coming in the front door anyways. I don't know. Todd, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
I got something you can throw your weight behind, hopefully. And how about at least one local school district if you can't comment?
Yeah.
Burnsville schools have pulled the cops out of their schools, at least at the middle school level, and are looking to drop them at the high school level. I think it's absolutely absurd. I'm an employee in the district and hoping that you could help us get the cops back into them.
Well, what's the reason for pulling them out?
They added more administration. They added more deans. They didn't like the feel of the police. They didn't like the cops over protecting the kids in a way.
I see. All right. Thanks, Todd. And again, having armed guards at schools, again, it is no guarantee. And, I think the idea that, I do agree, having the chances of that you having, I know what happened recently where a kid, and I don't remember where it was. And again, of course, it doesn't get the kind of headlines that when there's 10, 12, 17 killed. But there was the one where somebody that had a gun, and I don't know if it was just a teacher that was armed or if it was actually a guard, or, somebody that was, a uniformed personnel, was able to either, I don't know if they shot and killed, but they subdued the gunman before the gunman was able to kill anybody. But then that's just you're getting lucky that when the kid walks in the door with the gun and pulls it out, that there happens to be someone really close nearby. Ed Marinaro guy. What's up, me boy?
Hey, congrats on 25 years, Colin.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
I know that the genie's out of the bottle with this. There's really no one solution, but I believe in terms of the security officers at the school, I'd rather have a tactical officer on the scene or someone with SWAT experience with the mindset where, they're not hunting a pension, they're not at the end of the road just kind of clocking in, clocking out, 9-to-5 type thing, where they know how to combat these threats and are trained and all that, because the regular average B cop, they go through active shooter scenarios, but most of these guys are not waking up in the morning looking to slap the cuffs on the bad guys anymore. I just think more of a tactically trained officer that could have prevented, but at least slowed down the Stoneman Douglas shooter in Florida and possibly, other ones. Because we know with that guy, all reports anyway indicate that he was outside throughout the shooting.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Next up is Roger. Roger, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Colin.
Hey, how are you?
Congratulations on the 25 years.
Well, thanks. It's awful nice of you. I appreciate the kind words.
This one entrance thing, you're on the right track. It's got to be like an airport. This thing with these kids pulling the fire alarm. First of all, the kid inside the school has to pull the fire alarm. How long is the shooter going to sit outside and wait for these kids to run out? And when's the fire alarm going to be pulled? So in order for the shooter to turn the fire alarm on, he has to enter the school.
Yeah.
So the fire alarm deal where all the kids run out is a moot point, because the shooter has to pull the fire alarm. If the kid pulls it, okay, the shooter's outside, When does he know that fire alarm's getting pulled? Today, tomorrow, next week, a month?
Well, the only thing would be is if he pulls it, and then as the kids are screaming out of the classroom near where he pulled it, he can start shooting them.
But he has to enter the school to do it. If it's a secured one entrance.
Well, there you go. Yes, you're right. That's absolutely right.
You know, he can't enter the school. If he's going to do it, leave his gun outside, try to get in the school. Well, why is he accessing the school? He's supposed to be there in the morning, whatever. But he still has to get inside to pull the fire alarm. Well, he goes through security. Where's he leaving his gun?
That's it. Thanks, Roger.
It's a real simple solution. I mean, it's like the airport. Like you said, they did it at the airport. They did it everywhere else. I think my kid's life is worth more than, we'll be able to put a armed officer there. You know what? You got to secure the entrance. Make it like a prison. I don't care. That's saving your kid's life. My kids are out of school, so it's not a big deal. But for you guys and your kids, I don't care what you got to spend to do it. You got to do it.
Thanks, Roger. Appreciate it.
Yep.
We got more calls coming in, a lot of emails. We'll get to them. I don't mind staying on this. It's more important than whether the big meows leave in town or not, or if the Twins are finally out of their slump, or if Death Lineup is going to win the rest of their games against Houston. I told you this too, Tennessee, on the way home from basketball on Saturday. Baby brother Peter is 13, he's 12, he's soon to be 13. Saw the flags at half staff, and he goes, "Why are the flags at half staff?" And I pause and grit my teeth. I thought, he hasn't heard. And then he goes, "Is it the Santa Fe shooting?" So he knows. I go, "Yeah, that's it." And I said to him, I go, "Are you scared to go to school?" He said, "No," which was nice to hear that he's not scared to go to school. At least that's what he said to me. And I know Deuce isn't scared to go to school, but again, it's because when you think of how many schools there are, and even with the alarming frequency, the odds are more than likely your kid will go through his entire school year and never have an incident like this. But, you just don't know. You don't know which kid's going to go berserk, right? So,
homeschooling is going to increase a lot.
Well, I tell you, you are absolutely correct there. When we come back, we will move on for a while for sure. We're going to do 5-3-4.
And you mentioned it earlier, but do cats and wolves not get along?
This is the number one sports talk show in the upper Midwest. With an asterisk, the Common Man, Dan Cole, on the Fan.
It's a couple 13-14 past. Don't get me wrong. I've had this suggested to me. I think these things through at least a little bit when I try to come up with ideas. I guess I'm just exasperated and a little bent out of shape and terrified for our kids. And I understand, let's say you do one entrance and you're bringing them in through an entrance. Yeah, well then some idiot kid, depending upon the school, could be on a grassy knoll, 100 yards away with a high-powered rifle, and you could kill kids at the entrance until they get them. Yeah, I know. But I want to do something, so I'm sorry. I want to do something. Ideally, the very best is mental health and some kind of way to prevent these guns getting in the hands of the wrong people. But I don't know where you start there. And especially on the gun thing, there's so much pushback from people. And I understand why, because they're going, I would never use my gun in that manner. And I like to go hunting. And I do want to have a gun with me just in case somebody tries to rob me or break into my house. I want it for protection. I get that. I understand all that. Everybody has different hopes and fears and dreams. And, I get that. All right. So I'm not calling for the abolishment of guns, though. I think that obviously the thing is you can't do it because there's 310 million out there. They're not going to try. That would be the best thing ever for the abolishment of guns. But that's not going to happen. Because we're way past the abolishment of guns, so I get that. Let's do 5-3-4. There are more calls and emails to get to, though.
Five questions.
Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four.
Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number one. It's now time to take an in-depth look at the welfare of the wolves.
Mouth is alive, juice is like wine, and I'm hungry like the wolves.
Carl Anthony Towns' relationship with the Minnesota Timberwolves has reportedly grown icy. Appearing on Friday's episode of The Low Post, ESPN.com's Zach Lowe said Towns and the Timberwolves are, quote, not in a good place internally. ESPN.com's Brian Windhorst, who joined Lowe for a lengthy conversation, later posted it would not be unheard of if Towns' name eventually surfaced in trade discussions. Windhorst said, quote, I don't think Anthony Davis is going anywhere anytime soon, but Carl Towns? Now that might be a different story. Common, what is the future of the Big Meow in Minnesota?
Well, again, I've not talked to a lot of people or read a lot of things. I don't know what type. I'm not even dismissing what these two gentlemen were discussing on their podcast or their broadcast or whatever cast it was, but where did they get their information? Did they get that from Carl Anthony Towns, from his agent? Did they get it from Glenn Taylor? Did they get it from Tibbs? Other players? Where are they getting this? I've not, and I'm not saying it's not true.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, it very well could be.
They could be making it up, yeah.
But they could be, well, not even making it up, but they're just hearing hearsay. And what does that mean? Is when does Towns get the max deal? Do we know? Do we have any indication?
It's got to be soon, isn't it?
Right. So, I don't know why. I don't know where his unhappiness would stem from if he's eventually going to get money. Maybe he doesn't like the situation. Maybe he doesn't like that. It doesn't appear on the outside from watching him, his body language and in his interviews, that he's upset. He's not the, I just love this phrase in sports. I always roll my eyes, shrug my shoulders, and shake my head when I hear alpha male.
Alpha male.
Alpha male. Maybe he wants to be the alpha male. Remember, Steph Marbury, allegedly, and no one's ever disputed this, I don't even think Marbury has, the reason he did not want to stick around is he didn't want to play second fiddle to Kevin Garnett. He wanted to be the max player guy. He wanted to be the go-to guy. Come fourth quarter, bring it to Steph Marbury. There are guys that feel that way. There's even been conversations and discussions, we had them here, that maybe some people don't like playing with LeBron because if you're a big star, like let's say he went to Houston. There's speculation he'll leave. He goes to Houston. Do you have Harden and Chris Paul going, well, wait a minute. Love to have him on the team because he'd help us win a title, but I want to be the guy. I don't want come fourth quarter bring it to LeBron, because if you're on LeBron, would be your alpha male on any team he plays on, right?
I would think so.
So then it's like, well, what do you want? Do you want guaranteed title? Because if you put him on Houston, I could almost guarantee you they'd win a NBA champ. I really believe they would. I don't think there's any doubt. You could just start printing championship banners for Houston as long as those three stay together. And with Capella and some of their other ancillary, Gordon and some of these other guys, I would call that death lineup. But maybe that's the way Towns feels, or maybe he doesn't like Tibbs. Maybe he doesn't like this defensive. You know, because there are guys that just, and again, I'm just all speculating. I don't know. This is all speculation. Maybe I don't really want to play hard defense. I like just being an offensive option. I'm pretty good. You know, I don't know. But yeah, think about this. I mean, we've already, after what happened last year, Tibbs comes in. He plays 1 year with the young guys and says, I don't have any patience for this. And maybe part of that's from Glenn, because at approaching 80 years old, I don't think Glenn's got a lot of patience to wait around to see if he can win an NBA title. So scrap the youth movement, building with Dunn, Levine, Wiggins, and Towns. I'm going to bring some heavyweights in, some veteran players that I've coached with before. We're going to try to make the playoffs and advance to the conference finals right away. And we saw where that got us. You know, it didn't get us very far, especially when we had to play somebody like Houston. And because Butler was out, we lost a chance to maybe be that third or fourth seed. I don't know how much difference that would make. So, but since then, Crawford wants out, or is he already out? I can't remember.
He's basically out. He technically can still come back.
Right.
But
he's basically out. Wiggins seems to be bored and disinterested. Maybe he really wants to go to Toronto. Butler.
Does anyone want to be here?
I don't know. Butler kind of expressed the idea. I don't know why other. Remember the long-ranging story with the Chicago Sun-Times? Hardest working newspaper in America. Just ask them. They'll tell you. You know, he was like, I don't know why more people aren't like me. So I don't think he thinks he has the guys, the guys that are around him here in town, especially the, and I think he's probably talking about the young guys, because he played with a couple of those. He played with Rose, and he played with Taj, right?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't all those guys former Bulls at the same time? He knows what he's getting with those guys. Those guys do want to put in the work. So maybe he doesn't want to be here either, so.
Do you think maybe he knows Butler's going to leave in a year?
And that could be, too.
And that Wiggins just isn't the guy, and then they're not going to win here.
And that could be, too. Maybe Kyrie
got out a year early.
Right. Yeah. He sees what all these other guys are doing, you know? You form little cliques.
Mm-hmm.
You get three or four really good players, and, you know, Golden State's doing it better than anybody. I watched it last night between dozing in and out. I think I told you I got about 8 hours of sleep last night, three on the couch, dozing in and out, in and out, in and out. They just destroyed death lineup, just destroyed Houston. Now, I know Houston destroyed death lineup the night before, but that team break up the Gold State. So, I mean, it would be unfortunate when you think you're finally, hey, maybe we're starting, we got a foundation here. And now it looks like maybe that foundation's already crumbling. It'd be sad, really, if you're a part of the basketball community.
Question number two.
We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score. It's now time to delve deep into Twins territory.
Joe Mauer was placed on the 10-day disabled list Saturday because of a cervical strain that includes some concussion-like symptoms, but the Twins maintain that Mauer doesn't officially have a concussion. Twins manager Paul Molitor said when Mauer came out in the fifth inning of Friday's game because his neck locked up on him, he also had problems with balance and sensitivity to light. The Twins took no chances, deciding to put Mauer through a sport concussion assessment tool 5 test, a standardized concussion screening tool. Mauer tested well, but the fact he showed some symptoms led the club to place him on the disabled list. Common, should Twins fans be concerned about this Joe Mauer injury?
I should think they should just be concerned with how Joe's been playing the last few years. But yeah, I guess in talking to people and reading some things, there are people that are now, and whether this is rational thinking or not, that boy, this could be now, you know, because he's, how old is he now? Did you have that in that piece?
I did not.
He's got to be early to mid-30s, right? He's had a long career. And when
I would guess 33, 34.
When is there the point of diminishing returns for...
35.
Yeah, 35. So are we now at the point where if he does... Now he's got the neck injury and has some concussion symptoms, but it's not really a concussion. And he just hasn't been the same Mauer since the MVP year anyways, certainly since the concussion. I know he's had some nice average years. Great, you know. I would be concerned, though. I don't know how much longer he was. I mean, let's take out the injury. Let's say he batted around 300, you know, for neck, you know. Gets his 8 home runs, 9 home runs, drives in his 75 runs. So he's supposed to come back next year. Well, a year ago I would have thought, well, we don't need that. We got Buxton and Sano. But Buxton's awful at the plate. Terrible. He's had one good month in his career, right?
164, yeah.
Was it that one month last year, or was it a couple of months last year?
Of Major League, yes.
Yeah, Major League, that he was brilliant. And Sano... Well, I don't know what to make of him. I don't know if he'll ever be one of those guys that stays healthy and gives you 140, 50 games a year and the kind of productivity that you were expecting from him, where you're expecting a guy that's going to be, he's a 40 home run a year guy, give or take 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to drive in 100 runs. He might only bat 265 or 255 or 270, but he drives in a lot of runs. He's dangerous. He's pretty nimble third baseman for his size, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't Brooks Robinson, but, and I don't know where he's, so Joe might become one of your most valuable players. So if you add Joe to the list of guys that aren't going to be contributing, it's not good. The Twins are
That lineup looks pretty bare all of a sudden.
Right now it's bare, yeah. And you know the starting staff is better, and so is the bullpen, but they're not all duckies and bunnies every time either. So we about 4 or 5 games under 500 right now.
Yeah, 3 maybe.
Yeah, it's not good.
Question number 3.
And finally, the Vegas Golden Knights are on their way to the Stanley Cup Final after a 2-1 win in Winnipeg yesterday. They won that series 4-1. Common, has Vegas' season been the most improbable season in sports history?
Well, it would seem so. Has an expansion team. Did you just say this in the question? I wasn't paying attention. I don't know of an expansion team.
There's none. Yeah.
It's never happened before, has it?
Well, I mean, there was times, at least in the National Hockey League, and I don't know about the other sports, where, like, the St. Louis Blues in their first years, they had so many expansion teams, and there's so few teams in the league that an expansion team had to get to the Stanley Cup Final, I believe, because they were going through other expansion teams.
Yes, that's correct.
But
that is it. The North Stars said we're the team that they...
Yeah.
The North Stars lost to St. Louis, I think, in a Game 7, 2-1 in overtime, or they would have been that team.
So I don't really count that.
Right.
But,
and of course, I mean, I guess the initial season of the National Football League, there had to be, they were all expansion teams, right? I guess. It is improbable. I still, and I, how does it make, like, Tennessee, you're a Wild fan through and through. I mean, blue line circles the state, mom was a referee, cut your teeth in the penalty box. This has to make you, I don't know about bitter, but we've been a team for how many years now? We've never sniffed a Stanley.
Well, don't even do Wild. Do Minnesota sports. When is the last time a Minnesota sports team, and I'm taking away the Lynx, I'm including the Big Four male sports. The Big Four, when was the last time?
Yeah.
Was the North Stars after the Twins? Was the North Stars 92 or are they 91?
I don't know.
But either way, it's the North Stars. So it's been 26, 27 years since a Minnesota sports team has reached the final of their league. Vegas has done it in year one.
Yeah, in year one.
And they've never had a professional team at any sport.
And that's why we go back, and I know you've told me this before, but their players were just, every team had to leave how many players unprotected?
Seven. Well, you had to protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie. But then there were rules within that. You know, the Wild had to protect Parisi, Suter, Pominville, because they had, and Koivu, because they had no move, no trade clauses. So that's really a lot of where the Wild got stuck. Now, what the Wild had, they were going to lose a good player regardless. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. But
I mean,
it just seems to me that you're still, I'm not saying that's scraping the bottom of the barrel, but it's only the mid part of the barrel.
Should be third line forwards and,
How did
a fourth defenseman.
How did that work out like that? I know there's puck luck involved and Moon in the 7th house Aquarius. It is an amazing story. And if you're a Wild fan, there's probably, I'm not saying you're bitter, but you're bitter, aren't you, a little bit?
Jealous.
Jealous. Yeah. And how many other cities the same way? How many other cities?
Most of the league.
Yeah, because we know Boston's had cups and, you know, of course, Philadelphia hasn't had once in 75. Has it been that long for them? But there's a lot of these teams that have won
teams
cups.
Teams lost better players to Vegas than us.
Yeah. And it's like, how does this happen? So, and they haven't won the whole thing yet either, right? I mean, they'll play the winner of who now? Who's Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay is up 3-2 on Washington. So if Tampa Bay wins tonight, they'll face the Lightning. The Stanley Cup Final will probably be the first time all year that I've picked Vegas. So you might as well just bet against them now.
Right. Because it's the Cup and it is the Finals. I know Vegas has just as good a chance as the other team they face because they're both there, but. Will Vegas be the favorite no matter who it is? If it's Tampa Bay, do you think the oddsmakers would most people favor Vegas at this point? Regardless,
I don't know. It'll be close.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
I'm picking Vegas.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. Yeah. So there you go.
And that's it for today's edition of 5 Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
Yeah. Oh, here's the tease. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I'll explain that other side of the break. Common Man Program on the Fan.
Your show.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by my friends at Joffe Medical Center and also This is your Great Clip of the Day, brought to you by Great Clips.
As the field comes into the final furlong, it is Justify in front. Good magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness. Bravazo was second, tenfold was third, good magic was fourth. In a final time of 1 minute 55 and 4/5 seconds, not even the fog could stop him.
The sun was shining, I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's banquet wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue.
Couple 13, 14 passed on the Grom. Bigger they are, the harder they fall. And what I meant by that was, when the hopes that have been sold are big, and then those hopes, which always spring eternal, but when those hopes don't come to fruition, I think there's a harder fall. Like, for instance, if you're told, we're going to start calling this Wild Club the Skatriots, because we're looking at multiple Stanley Cup final appearances. We might have, our cup might runneth over with Stanley Cup titles. Or in the case of the Minnesota Twins, we talked about them briefly during 5-3-4. I sold some of that hope at the beginning of the season. I was part of it. In talking to people and reading things, listening to the so-called experts and all the, even the crusty old veterans, right? Those newspaper reporters who are basically, how was that described? Hyperactive librarians? No, what was it? Gosh, I got to go track down sales guy. He used to be like an editor for a local newspaper, not one of the big ones here, but a small newspaper, and he called them mildly aggressive librarians is what he called them. Even in talking to people and reading things from mildly aggressive librarians, and from even the new generation, Tenneby, the sabermeticians and the analyticals, listening to them was like, you thought last year was nice getting into that play-in game? You wait, we see what we got now. Same lineup coming back from last year. Added Lomo. Got Odorizzi. Lance Lynn. We didn't even know about the Romero kid. But I was told this, we can start thinking about giving Cleveland a run for their money. Certainly in the wild card hunt. And guess what? Because we had the soft schedule when you talk about Detroit and the Pale Hose and the Kansas City Royals, right? Hey, this is a chance. We're going to win some games. And it's, as Yogi Berra once said, it ain't over till it's over, and it's not over yet. I do, wild card hopes are basically, they're gone, right? The wild card will not come out of the Central. There will be no wild card.
That'd be hard to believe.
It would be almost impossible. Other teams would have to really hit the skids hard. We're like six games out of the wild card, but there's like seven teams in front of us. It's just we're three or four games under 500. That's not happening. So we have to be able to best Cleveland. And could we? Sure, we could. But they've got that same schedule we have. They're playing the Kansas City Z's and the Detroit Z's and the Chicago White Sox disease. They're playing those teams too.
Twins have the 10th best winning percentage in the American League.
Yeah. And so, the bigger they are, and I'm talking about the hopes of the team, the harder they are falling. Because, and I don't know if other Twins fans feel that way. Not that you were sold a bill of goods, because we know there are no guarantees in sports. Sports is your whole life, just sports. We know that. We've seen it all too often, right? Closest thing to a guarantee is Golden State's going to go to the NBA Finals year after year after year. As long as they put together that same rotation that we are now calling, it's that wonderful rotation that we are now calling. I'm giving you the sign, Timmy. That wonderful rotation that we now call
Death Lineup.
Is that the closest thing to a guarantee that Death Lineup will be in the NBA Finals this year and next year and year after that and year after that?
Yeah.
And the next closest guarantee would be that Infidelity is going to win the Triple Crown.
Infidelity.
Isn't that the...
Justify?
Justify? I thought it was Infidelity. Infidelity is going to win the... That's what I would call my horse. Because most horses fool around anyways. I mean, how many horses stay faithful? You think Justify is just going to, you know, marry a mare and then until death do us part?
If he wins the Triple Crown, he'll be getting around.
That's my point.
Yeah. He'll be getting around.
So I would call my horse Infidelity. And they'd say, why? Because after he wins the Triple Crown, he's going to be spreading his seed. He'll be creating other horses from his loins.
I think No Switch would be a great... That's a name for a horse.
No Switch. And that's the other guarantee. He'll win the Belmont. Well, or maybe not.
I'm not so sure of that.
Wait, hold on. Oh, two things. First of all.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we forgot to do the bit to check in on your bets.
Where were we at?
Oh, well, you didn't make any on Friday.
I didn't make any on Friday.
But did we check in on the Thursday bets already? We must not have, did we?
No, because we... Okay, we got the Friday show.
Well, let's take a break then. Okay. I forgot all about that bit. That's one of my favorite bits to see because you're going to
I got
to
come up with some bets for today now.
Well, you come up with some bets.
I got to look.
Okay, here's what I'm doing. We'll see how you did because this, by the way, well, I'll give the update one more time to tell people how we stumbled across this entire bit. But since the United States Supreme Court struck down the law that said only Las Vegas, only Nevada can have sportsbook betting, now everybody can. Tenneby was so excited, he thinks he's going to make a killing by betting on sporting events. Well, let's just see how good he is. We're pretending that sports betting is now legal in Minnesota, and Tenneby has been, again, he's doing it within his own, you know, his own budget. You know, he's not going, all right, I'm betting $1,000 on this team. And I thought he's going what he is able out of his account, because he can't use his wife's account or the joint account, what he would bet on bets on games. And we've been doing this for a few days now. So we'll check his results from last Thursday and what he'll bet on tonight. We'll do that on the other side of the break on the Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
We don't mind thinking outside the box. Doesn't bother us at all.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Register for our Trampled by Turtles Red Rocks giveaway on Twitter. You have until 9 a.m. this Friday. Tell us why you love Trampled by Turtles and tweet using the hashtag Rube to Red Rocks to register for a chance to win a trip to see them play at the famous venue in Denver, Colorado on July 19th. Check out at KFAN1003 on Twitter to learn more.
Couple 13, 14 passed on the Common Man program. Before we check Tenneby's gambling results and his value bets and his sure thing, lead pipe, lock, cinch, whatever they call them, emails booth@kfan.com. This one says, these guns have been around for longer than these mass shootings have been going on. The biggest difference is social media didn't exist before and kids didn't have cell phones. Meaning kids weren't getting bullied at school and constantly on social media or text messages from kids that they would never say what they text in person. The troubled kid also didn't have Google at his fingertips to look up anything from making bombs to ordering supplies or just researching other mass shooters and what they did. I do think social media plays a part of this.
Me too.
I don't know what percentage either. That's also like if you dare say you think video games have something to do with it, people that play video games immediately get annoyed with you and angry. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not saying it's because of video games and that video games should be banned. If you like playing video games and you shoot them up video games, knock yourself out. Sane, rational people can do them without wanting to go shoot kids at school or at a movie theater. But what does happen, it's part of, I'm really good at this. And some of them are so nuts. It's like, I wonder if I did this for I wonder what it'd be like to do it for real.
and then they're nuts, and then maybe they have been bullied, or maybe they there's something amiss there, and they do have issues psychologically, and then there is the social media. Every mass shooting is different, except the one common denominator is it's a gun by a crazed school kid who wants to shoot classmates. I don't know. So I think it's a combination of a lot of different
things. There's so many variables that go into this. There's not one thing. Because you could see the video games thing, and I can say, well, you know, the rest of the countries in the world also have video games, and they don't have the same problem.
Yes.
I do think, and you could say the rest of the world has this too, internet and social media has changed the way, especially our youth, but even as adults, that we treat each other.
I agree.
There's a cesspool of hate and negativity and bullying, and you get young minds that don't know quite how to handle that properly.
Yes, exactly. And I have dozens of emails here, and you know, I don't know if I'll get to any more today or if we will. Come up again, because I'm getting a lot of really well thunk out ones, including one from an email. We've gone back and forth a little bit here during the show about there has to be some gun control measures, and I just scanned that. I don't know if they're talking about. I don't think he's really saying, he or she is saying, gun control to the point that we're taking them away from people. We already have measures, but just finding a way to keep them out of the hands of the youngsters. Part of that would be just like making sure parents not all lock them up. And the mental health thing is important. You mix the two together, it's a bad combination. Somebody that's mentally ill and has a handgun or a firearm of some sort is a bad combination. And I'm saying, well, I get all that, and that really is at the root of this and probably where you have to go, but I want at least a Band-Aid, and the response there is, yeah, but if you put a Band-Aid on it, it will ease the pain, everyone will feel better, but no one will ever be motivated to what needs to be done. Yeah, maybe. But if everybody comes to the conclusion that something has to be done, we need to at least try to do everything we can to prevent the next one for now, even though it's not perfect. I still think that's the best way to go about it. This emailer says, one, pass a simple bipartisan gun control law at the state legislature to get the ball rolling. Maybe universal background check, something like 90% of Minnesota support this. Pass an increase in education funding to go toward mental health resources. And you could allocate funds to increase school security, a compromise to help the other two get through and make people feel better. But that's what I'm saying, is that there needs to be a combination of things. Because I think the biggest problem between the people that are gun owners, law-abiding, NRA, Second Amendment people, I don't claim to understand it all. It just seems that there's this wedge between, don't you even dare think about adding any regulations or this or that. And you know, I've talked to some pretty sane people. I've got emails here from people that are at least like, I don't think there's anything wrong with extra waiting periods, but there's some people that they just say no to that. And as long as they, you know, and again, is that the only reason we're having school shootings? No. I know that guns don't kill people. People kill guns. You're right. You know, I get that. It is someone that's unstable is the main reason behind this. But
well, caller just brought up off the air, and he didn't want to go on regarding the video games topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't play video games. I don't own a gun.
Right.
But he was saying how video games, what they have done is basically taught children how to use the guns without them actually having to ever go through the process of learning from an adult how to handle and use it and operate a firearm. They said it's like amazingly accurate that shows you how to use a gun
really?
By playing video games. I don't know. I don't play any of those.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know. I'm exhausted by it all. And I must admit, it's not like I'm tossing and turning in bed, can't sleep, and breaking into cold sweats thinking about my kids and what could happen at school. But I will admit I'm concerned. There is fear. I mean, again, we talked about it. With all the schools that there are in the country, even at the rate that they're happening, what is it, three a month, three and a half a month, whatever, which is, to me, just an astonishing number.
I mean, what are the chances that your kid's school is going to happen? And then even after your kid's school with all the kids in a school, it's not like the whole school gets killed. I mean, we had the 17 in Florida. Was that the most ever in one shooting? I thought that was. I can't remember. Then this one was 10. Sometimes it's 2, 4, all too many. But so when you really when you narrow the numbers down to that, you go, what are the chances your kid's going to be the one? I know, but still doesn't mean I'm not concerned. And not just for my kids, forever. I'm concerned for Tennessee's kids or Joe Bag of Donuts kids or anyone.
My wife said it the other day. Yeah. Let's homeschool our kids.
Yeah.
Which never thought I would contemplate that.
Nope. Sometimes it makes you think. What did you contemplate for bets last week? Last Thursday, you made how many bets?
I made two bets last Thursday.
And where did you stand? We started this on like a Tuesday, I think. Tuesday or Wednesday?
We started on May 15th. I have the date.
Okay.
So, yeah, 6 days ago.
So
heading into Thursday, I was down $1.90, if you remember.
Okay.
I picked the over in the Latvia-Sweden hockey world tournament game.
Okay.
Over was 5.5. That did not hit the over. So I lost that bet, so I lost $20 there. So now I'm at that point down $21.90.
Okay.
I had Boston Red Sox minus 1.5 runs versus Baltimore.
You won that one, right?
I did win that one. So I bet 20 and won 24. So now I'm up $2.10.
You know what? Hey, big
spender, some money.
Spend a little dime.
I'm up $2.10.
Okay, so you're up $2.10. And again, would you be able to live off your gambling wages? I don't think
so. At this point, no.
Unless you were living with meat sauce under the Penn Avenue bridge. What are you going with today, then, for your bets? Are you?
I'm going with 3 today.
Okay.
I know Bartolo Colon's having a great year. I know his stats are amazing. He's got an ERA
who?
Of Bartolo Colon.
Who? We call him?
The Big Sexy.
The Big Sexy.
His ERA is under 3.
Okay.
He's having a great season. That's all going to come crashing down tonight because he faces the New York Yankees.
It's over for Bartolo.
So I'm not taking that the Yankees are going to win. I am taking the over in that game because I think Bartolo is going to get rocked. So that game, that over-under is at 9.5. So I'm taking 9.5, over 9.5 Yankees-Rangers tonight at minus 110. So I'm betting $20 to win $18.18.
Mm-hmm.
Game 4, Celtics at Cavaliers. I'm going to take the Celtics plus 7 tonight.
Ooh. The Celtics are favored by 7?
Cleveland's favored by 7.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Zach Cleveland.
So Boston's the underdog, so they just have to lose by less than 7 or win. Betting $20 there to win $18.18 because, again, I'm at minus 110. And then I'm taking the Tampa Bay Lightning to close out their series at Washington tonight. They are even money on the road, betting 20 to win 20.
This is where you make your move, isn't it, Tennessee? This is where things start to go work into your favor. Well, we'll see. Now, of those, and again, I'm the odd stuff. You know, when I retired from the pick segment with Big Ticket, JG, and Gerb Schmidt, I'm done. That was my final year last year. Generally speaking, almost every bet, I know that there were points, but I would rarely take them into consideration because I'm not a gambler. I would just like if they said, the Packers were, 3.5-point favorites over Detroit, I would just take the kiddies because I thought they were going to win. I wanted them, and I didn't. And I know that's not the right way to do it. I probably lost hundreds of games over the years by not doing that. So all that being said, of those bets you took, what was your first one?
Yankees-Rangers over 9.5.
And what does that mean, the combined score of the two teams?
If 10 runs or more are scored tonight in that game.
See, I would take the over on, you took over, I would have taken the over on that one as well. I think LeBron and Cleveland might blow them out again. They have to win by 7, by 8 or more?
If it's 7, it's a push, yeah.
Okay, I would say it's going to be more than 8. So I would have gone opposite on that one with you. And then your last one again was?
Tampa Bay Lightning, I got them at even money at Washington.
I like Ovi.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Ovi to win that one. So I think the Caps are going to even that series.
I think Washington has a history of losing big games in the playoffs, and especially at home, I think their fans get a little tense if they get down early in the game.
Will they do a white out there? Will they all be wearing white?
That's just in Winnipeg, but they don't do that anymore because they're done.
White Castle guy, you're on the fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about the gun situation.
Okay.
I'm in the military.
Okay.
I'm a gun supporter.
Okay.
But I also think
the process is way too easy. When I walked into the sheriff's office to get a permit to purchase, they do a background check, you get that, and then I can basically walk into any gun store and leave with a gun that day. It took me about 10 minutes to fill out the application, and 3 days later, I had it at my house. Now, I find myself to be a law-abiding citizen, I think responsible. That being said, I mean, why not have a list of people, references, that are, they do a background check on those names saying, okay, they're not felons at least. Because I would hope that my wife would say, my husband shouldn't own a gun right now,
right,
because two of our children were killed or something. Whatever bad happened, there's a moment right now that could have set him off. Be responsible. Don't give my husband a gun.
Yeah.
And I think even that alone would step up, because you hear all these people with, after these mass shootings, like, I never expected it. But they also know that their family member was mentally ill or just lost something big. Maybe they'd step up and say,
yep,
this isn't a good time to give him a gun.
Thanks, White Castle guy. I appreciate that. Yeah, now there's a guy that, again, he's got a gun, military, and he thinks it's too easy. And that's, again, I don't claim to be the expert, and I, and you know, with the chance of alienating and making gun owners bitter that think you should be able to just walk in and just within minutes buy one, I agree with him. I just think if you can make it more difficult, because again, let's say I'm a hunter and I want to buy a new gun. Do I need it today? Can I wait? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how easy it is. I don't know how much of a wait there is. It's just, it's all, and the mental health thing I think is very important. Also, in this case, he didn't buy the gun. This kid from Santa Fe, he got his debt. How was he able to get his father's gun? Did he know where the key was? Did he? Because I've not, again, if the story has happened in the last 18 hours, I've not seen it. But did he break into a gun safe? Did he find where they were hidden, you know, under the floorboards of the house? Did he have the key? Did he tell his dad, I'm going to go out and target shoot? And his dad said, sure, because that's what he does. I don't know. But keeping him under lock and key and away from people is important.
And obviously not all mass shootings are like that.
Right.
Because many of them are just available to go buy guns.
Yeah.
But for that specific one, to prevent that in the future, is it possible to create some sort of law where we could prosecute the father, well, or the owner of the gun if they allow, yeah, someone else?
If
they don't have...
That was suggested on an email. Someone else suggested, I don't even know if this is...
I don't know how you would word that. You know, because someone could steal your gun.
Right. Well, here's another one. And I don't even know if this is possible. It sounds good. And I think I've heard this before. Somebody sent an email, and I have it here, but I'll just, we got to break and get Rosen in. I'll just paraphrase it. It was something to the effect of, can you make a gun where, like, it can't be fired? It's all by fingerprint?
Sure.
You know, because
that
then,
cool, yeah.
Because if this gun that his old man owned, was it a handgun and a shotgun? If the only way you can actually, my guess is that can be bypassed somehow, though. But if it can't, would that be a solution? I don't know if that really works. To me, if that does work, that seems, you know, okay. Now, again, you'd have to retrofit a lot of guns right now, right? Because we already talked about being out of the bottle and the cat out of the bag. That's 310 million
firearms. You'd have issues in the future, too, of, you know, my brother's a hunter, and our grandfather passed down guns to him after he died.
There,
well, yeah. Then you wouldn't be able to pass those down.
Yeah. So there you go. Let's bring Mark Rosen in. He joins us on the Grum next on The Fan.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man.
Oh, boy.
Next on The Fan.
You're a big royal wedding guy, right? You enjoyed it start to finish?
No.
The whole
I didn't get up at 3 in the morning to watch it.
I would have thought that's...
No. I watched...
I had stomach issues. Couldn't sleep.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
And so then I got up and turned it on.
Well, it was almost as long as a pregame show before the Kentucky Derby. I mean, or the Super Bowl. It was... I know I recorded it, and I saw some of it. I mean, obviously, I watched
when
I got up. Well, I mean, I watched some when I got up. It was like watching highlights of a game. You didn't have to sit and watch 3 hours.
I can't think of anything more disinteresting. Here's what annoys me about it.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, they're getting credit for keeping the tab in check, you know, being a little bit more...
Mm-hmm. Frugal?
Frugal. $45 million was spent.
It's more than that.
Does that country not have any...
No, $45 million, that covered the security? I mean, I thought it was much higher than that.
I heard it was just $45 million. Maybe I was wrong.
I don't know.
They got deep
pockets at Buckingham. They got a lot of mattresses there.
But do they have do they have issues in that country? I mean, financial? Do you think they need money?
I don't know if it's not like other countries. I mean, I think the euro is doing... Okay. I'm not...
So in other words, just to spend that kind of money.
Well,
when there's,
yeah,
okay, I mean, I see how that works.
Correct.
And again, it's big.
It was.
I'm sure Harry's done some nice. Was he in the military and stuff?
Two tours of Afghanistan.
Okay. So he's done wonderful stuff.
Oh, he has.
But,
he's got his brothers in arms, and he was a pretty cool guy, actually.
Would Harry be where he is if Harry wasn't the heir to the House of
Sin? I don't.
And the woman is making a big deal about people that are.
I'll tell you what I liked about it, and I didn't. I'm not gonna. Wasn't exactly glued to it, but I saw, you know, again, I'm like a sports person. I watched the highlights, and I love the fact that since she is American, she has a African-American mother. Her dad, of course, wasn't there. There was definitely a real diverse flavor to it. I love the choir that sang Stand By Me. I thought that was fabulous, beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Minister. No, it was really cool, considering how staid and, you know, proper the Brits are, and especially the royals, and why people are kind of mocked and, you know, had fun at their expense for all these years, that there was some definite flavor to it that was...
Oh, I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you would have liked it. Why are you mocking the idea? I'm not talking about the actual nuptials or the vows. I'm talking about the choir that sang Stand By Me. It was beautiful. It was as good as anything you could watch on musically. It was beautiful.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I'm sorry missed it.
I am too. What else? Other highlights? What was the bride wearing?
Khakis. What the hell do you think she was wearing?
I mean, like, who was the designer?
I don't know who the designer was. I'm not breaking it down. This is entertainment tonight.
Well, you actually took the time to watch it.
I watched the highlights of it. I'm not...
But you took the time to actually watch highlights of it.
Well, absolutely. I looked at the ratings, overnight ratings.
You go, absolutely. Like, who wouldn't?
No, I said...
No, you go... Well, I said, so you watch. I said, you go, well, absolutely. Like,
well, no,
well,
I didn't
course,
see. I didn't even think
course,
about it.
Wouldn't?
Honestly, didn't even cross my mind until I got up Saturday morning and put the TV on, and there it was. It's hard to miss it.
It's called a remote in your hand. You could have found something, couldn't you?
Okay.
It
was fine to watch the highlights of it.
Gilligan's Island.
I watch highlights of the Lions. I'm not. No one wants to watch that. But I watched that.
What's the wedding? How many weddings you been to? Plenty. It's like any other, just more money. That's all. That's fine. I'm just...
I tried to give you some perspective that it was not...
I'm calling for the abolishment of royal weddings. I mean, think of... They're born into it. Now, Harry's probably would have been... Harry might be the exception. He might have been... Had he just been Harry, not... You know, it would have been Harry Rosen.
Right.
Born to you. He might have still accomplished all the wonderful things he did.
Well,
the advantages that you get just from being born into a royal,
it's the most ridiculous thing
I've ever heard of.
Yeah, but it's the history of the country. You can't deny it. You look at the tree.
But
going
I don't
back to
have
what,
to pay attention.
No, but it's why, you know, the TV shows about the royals and the crown are so popular, so vastly popular, because people are enamored with it. I don't particularly get into it. They are fascinated by the history of it, and that's right. The country. It's a fabulous country to visit. You start looking at Windsor Castle and what's going on there, and you understand the history of the country.
Okay.
And now you have this American woman who's now
Good for her.
Part of the, who was on a TV show called Suits. Well, so
good for her. That's great.
Well, your negativity in this room.
It's really not negativity. It's I won't.
Again,
I'm not going to idolize and pedestalize people just because I'm not born
again,
to a certain family name.
And I'm trying.
I'm not going to pay attention.
The last
to
time,
wedding.
I'm trying to add some perspective to say that what was the highlight, what I saw of the highlights, was a real different feel than the norm about royals compared to his brother's marriage, or going back to Princess Di, his mother's marriage, where it was so.
The only way it could have been different is if they
had this wonderful choir.
The only way it could have been different
choir singing "Stand by Me." Hello.
The only way it could have been different is if they had gone to a justice of the peace.
That would have been cool.
No guests, get in. A couple close personal friends, get in, get out, and move on with your life.
Yeah. Now you talk about idolizing. I mean, the media people who were covering it were practically throwing themselves at the couple when they went by. They were screaming at them. It would be like, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz, like screaming at Tom Brady if he walked by the press box. Tom, I'm here, wave at me. That's what all the media people were doing. They were the ones that were going, they were not exactly professional in what was happening. They were screaming at him like they were yelling at Elvis back in the 50s. Aren't you glad I was here to sum it up for you?
I'm in the infamous words of the 11-year-old boy who looked at Shoeless Joe Jackson, say it isn't so, Rosie, say it isn't so. I can't believe you even watched the highlights
of it. Well, that's really judgmental of you. I can't believe you do the things you do. So, I mean, to each their own. I wasn't watching hours upon hours. I didn't go to Brit's Pub at 3:30 in the morning like a lot of people did, get dressed up to watch
people
this.
People didn't do that.
Yes, they did. There were parties all over the Twin Cities. People who
had got to be kidding me.
Royal wedding parties. Of course they did. The ratings actually were pretty decent. I looked at our overnight ratings at 4:00 in the morning. People were watching it much more so than a lot of sporting events that are on the air in the afternoon. You're funny.
Well, just because the ratings were good doesn't mean.
Oh my God, you're exhausting.
You're exhausted.
I'm just giving you a perspective, and no matter, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm not trying to say you missed out. I'm just pointing out observations I had about the highlights, and I thought it was goosebumps watching that choir sing "Stand by Me." It was forgetting it was a wedding. I just loved the fact that they were in that church singing that song. Grace. Class, it was fun. It was good to see.
You're being called a closet royal rube.
Fine. I don't watch the shows. I've never watched one episode of The Crown.
It says not only is Rose in a Polat pocket protector, he's a House of Windsor wallet watcher. Somebody else, what a waste of money. I'll never go to that country.
Well, fine. Don't go to it. And guess what? They don't care. You're missing out.
Rosen said he didn't really watch a wedding, but he knows every detail about it. Did you have a buddy watching it?
Oh, my God. I didn't know every detail. Again.
I just never saw tough, hard-nosed Mike Wallace, sports reporter
you can't watch
the highlights.
Well, you know what? Why do you put people in a box? Why do you not? Because you are so, you live this sheltered life that you're not allowed to, you don't watch movies that are made in the last 20 years other than some kids' movie. You're very black and white. You're no gray areas
Sully
to you.
I watched Sully with my family about 6 months ago.
You watched what?
Sully.
That was just okay.
But it was a movie that was made recently.
Yeah, okay, that's congratulations.
And then I watched the one about the ballet dancer.
Ballet dancer?
Yeah. Black Swan. What are you laughing about?
That was so many years ago.
Well, but I watched it.
All right, well, okay. It's good.
Sorry, I don't have the free time you do to just go watch.
I don't have the free time. That's all you have is free time.
I'm the golf ambassador. I need to play golf every day. I have two kids.
I don't watch it in the morning.
I have two school-age kids.
I understand that.
You've got nothing going on. You can just watch movies.
That's Corey Cove.
How nice to be able to just watch. You're getting ripped.
For watching the highlights of the royal wedding?
This one says, Rosen relates to the Royals because, like them, he was born into his career.
Yeah, born
into
it.
Just think, he's a Hall of Fame broadcaster and he dropped out of college.
Uh-huh.
You were born into it.
And those seven day work weeks had nothing to do with it.
Here's another one. Common, I couldn't think of anything more boring than the elitist pivoter talking royal wedding.
I was asked about it, number one. I didn't go, hey, you're by the way, did you watch this? You asked me about it. I didn't bring it up. If you wanted to talk about the Lynx, if you want to talk about the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Twins, what's happening in the world, you brought it up. I didn't. You're the fraud.
God, you're getting destroyed.
Sorry.
Of course, Rosie loved the royal wedding. He's totally into that stuff. Just look at his lavish lunches at Manny's with the Polats. The vastly expensive food and drink flow freely. The maitre d', servers, bartenders just all wait hand and foot on Rosie's every desire. Yeah. Just yeah. as they do in the plush suites at Target Field, U.S. Bank, etc.
Right. Yeah, I had a really, my Sundays are so glamorous at work.
Do you watch the Kardashians too?
Never seen an episode.
Okay.
Never seen an episode of the Kardashians. Never seen an episode of Real Housewives of blankety blankety blank. I don't watch any of that garbage.
All right. Okay.
I really don't.
I'm sorry I missed it then. Thanks for updating.
I'll try to
be more open. Who's next to get married in the royal family?
I have no idea. I think they've run out of brothers. Now they have.
So that's it. We're done there.
Yeah, both of them are married. So, okay.
Any sisters?
No. Not from Princess Di.
Right.
No. No, there's...
How does that work?
I suppose, no.
Are they...
William's children will get married eventually.
Is this part of Henry the William Eighth Harry's, I am? Is this King Henry
of course,
the Eighth?
That's what I'm saying. You go way back.
Goes back to Henry
tree.
The Eighth. Okay.
Yeah.
You find that fascinating, the tree.
I'm not, I mean, when you walk into Brit's Pub, there actually is a royal tree, so to speak, about going back to King George and what, I mean, it's fascinating to watch the lineage. Now, a lot of people are students of that and love it, and that's why, I think the show is called The Crown, why people love watching that. I mean, it's fascinating, and even personality-wise, I'm not particularly, I don't get into all that stuff. I love England. I love being over there. I love the history. I love visiting stuff that you know, I've never imagined I'd see that I was fascinated with when I happened to be there both with my family and with covering Vikings football over there. But, yeah, it's an extraordinary country
for
lots of reasons. Yeah, and the Royals are obviously, I mean, they have a prime minister. They have people who run government.
No, they do.
It's not just that. No. It's amazing in this day and age that world still exists. It's hard to fathom.
It's sad, really.
Well, it's who they are. It's not. I mean, they look at us and go, "We're little neophytes. We barely exist."
Well, some countries still have dictators. You know?
Well, I just really I didn't know that.
And that's I don't particularly care for that. But
so you're comparing Queen Elizabeth with Kim Jong-un, Un, whatever his name is.
Well. Not really, but sort of. Well, on that note, let's do this. We'll pause. We'll try to regroup. We'll talk about some of the locals and what happened.
Okay.
We've got here, kitty, kitty, kitty. We've got the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Correct.
And death lineup.
Correct.
And we got some hockey talks. A lot to get to with Mark Rosen here on The Fan.
Twins did win yesterday. That means today, PapaJohns.com. You can put in the online promo code TWINSWIN, and you'll get 50% off a large or extra large pizza.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway. Restless feeling really got a hold. I started searching for a better way.
Barbara told you how much I love my job.
Yeah,
I do. Coming in here every day.
Yeah. Is this possible to get struck by lightning indoors?
Sharing my thoughts.
You can't wait to punch the clock and say goodbye to that microphone in front of you and Never be heard of again.
You're right. Someday I
or
will.
Or from. I still think you like the sound of your voice.
No, I do. No, I like it. I just...
Not a bad gig.
It's not time to make a change. Just sit back and take it easy. You're still young. That's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you have to go through. Okay, where do we start? Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. So Big Meow, where will he go?
Will he go
into the Lakers? I saw a story from somebody, and I think he may have been a L.A.-based writer, thinking L.A. should make a play now, and here's how it would work. And he had it all spelled out of the kind of trade that the Lakers should make with the Wolves. What are your sources telling you? Is there any truth?
Well, all
to what
this happened, you know.
A couple of bloggers or podcasters?
You got to take a deep breath here. And I don't know if this is kind of a national thing and they're not in a good place internally. This is this whole thing with Tibbs and, this is a national thing. I think this Brian Windhorst from ESPN is the one who talked about it. And that according to one or two of those guys, the Towns and the franchise are, quote, not in a good place internally.
Right.
And thinking, well, I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is going anywhere. I mean, I think that it's fascinating that in a span of not only making the playoffs, but having, until Jimmy Butler got hurt, having a team that potentially was on a 50-win curve.
Well, sure they were.
Understanding their place in the Western Conference, understanding what we're seeing right now is Golden State, at least by all appearances, will end up demolishing Houston and go back to the NBA Finals and probably win it again. That this is a team that's still in building mode. The Tibbs came in here to, in his vision, along with Layden, to put together young guys, veterans around him, like with Butler and Taj.
And Crawford.
Then, yeah, Sector. Exactly. And having to fill in some of those pieces as time goes on. But the cornerstones being Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. I mean, Glenn Taylor signs Wiggins to a max contract, which kicks in now. And all we're hearing, and the season, the NBA season obviously isn't over yet, is are they going to keep Andrew Wiggins? Should they trade him?
Mm-hmm.
Now what's going on with Karl
Crawford's unhappy. He wants out.
Well, Crawford's a bit player. I mean,
he was part of this.
Well,
it's still another guy that wants out.
Look, there's
it's still
guys,
another guy that, I yes. know he's not important, but it's still a guy that wants out.
But this
out.
Goes on in every team in the league. There are guys who want.
Does it?
Yes, a lot of teams. Right. It's an ego-driven league, and the players today are not satisfied unless they get their shots, their opportunity, their playing time.
Doesn't happen in Golden State.
Well, that's an unusual. It is a really unusual set of circumstances.
Why would Big Meow not be affected the same way by that? What about his ego? What if he's going?
I'm not saying it's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
I'm not saying this isn't true.
Oh,
I'm just
saying.
I don't have any idea. I mean, I would not be surprised. I think when you look at Tibbs, and we know that Butler and Taj Gibson were doing nothing but singing his praises most of the time, the reason they came here. And I think that the average fan already, from the Wolves' perspective, he's wearing on them. I think his body language during the game, his constant grimacing, and you watch, again, maybe because Steve Kerr has Durantula.
He's got death
Curry, and he can just sit there with his legs crossed. But even when you watch Popovich over the years, because Tibbs and Pop are more alike.
There's nobody more animated that I've ever seen on a sideline than Tibbs.
And you can question why they went in that direction, and I think those are legitimate questions. For a guy that had success in Chicago, but not playoff success, he wasn't always blessed with the best teams in the world. But as far as having the face of this franchise come back to Tom Thibodeau and understanding what he's about, and these stories about kind of running his players into the ground and not having the defensive adjustments, not being where they need to be yet, and more importantly for the future, and understanding that he has to have. A relationship. He's the boss. He's the coach. He's more than that. But to have young guys want to play hard for them, for him. Now, San Antonio had the Kawhi Leonard situation, which I'm sure decimated that team basically this year. We don't even know the full story what went on. We're not there. We don't know the full story what happened. When you look at a guy like who is to me always been like the ultimate team player, and a Popovich, who guys love playing for, what the hell happened there? So you have those star players have situations like that with again a Hall of Fame coach in Greg Popovich. So I, you know, again, it's not even.
Here's what I think.
June 1st yet. So you know, you can't start speculating on what's going to happen. If Towns is true, I mean, the thing is, this is who this franchise is. I'm sorry, but almost 30 years of this stuff that's gone on and on. Even when they had Garnett and Marbury, you think, well, this is going to be the next Stockton and Malone, and they're going to be good to go for decades. How, you know, that fell apart. Then the Cassell thing fell apart. The Sprewell thing fell apart. You know, it's always 1 year and one and done. Now, are they going to take a step back? Or how are they going to move forward? This is a huge offseason for this basketball team.
Here's what I think.
Go ahead.
I think it started with LeBron going to Miami, continued when you see Golden State putting together death lineup. Mm-hmm. I think the best players in the league start saying, that looks like fun. Why would I want to tread water, spin my wheels for 2, 3, 6, 7 years trying to get with the right group of guys that can be a contender when all you have to do nowadays is just say, I'm one of the best players in the league and I'm not happy here and I'll go play with you guys.
Well,
and I think that, now I'm not even saying big, right. This, all of this whole report could be hogwash, but if there's anything to it, and again, if there is, we still don't know all the reasons why, but to me, that seems like the most simple and most obvious to me a reason why would be, you're sitting there and go, why do I want to get screamed at by Tibbs and have the other alpha male? And this is my team. I should be the alpha male. And alpha male guy's going, well, I don't know why people don't want to play defense and play hard like me. Hey, I'm still learning the game. If you don't like the way I'm playing, I'll go play elsewhere. There's a lot of teams that would like to have the big me out. I'm saying this is the stuff he's thinking.
Well,
and so he
starting
wants
getting,
out. Yeah. I believe it's
well, he hasn't issued any comments, of course. He has not made any public statements. And he's got 2 more years under his contract. He's got 2 more years to go on his contract. And then they can retain him as a restricted free agent in 2020-21. So I mean, he's under the control of the Timberwolves. No, he could pull a Kawhi Leonard. He could get hurt and have a mysterious injury and not play and force their hand. And normally, you know, it is true in situations like this between the star and the coach, the star wins out. But not everybody can go play for Golden State. Not everybody can go play. I mean, it's not a football team. It's not even there's only 7, 8 guys that are going to play. You can't just go, hey, I'm over here. First of all, he's not going anywhere on his own.
He could play for Houston.
Well, again, he can't play for anyone for a couple more years. 3 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unless he goes to management and says, I'm done
I'm
here.
Saying.
Now, is that possible? Yeah, anything's possible. We've seen it happen before. I just mentioned Kawhi Leonard. You know, they got this whole offseason to kind of figure things out, and I think the frustration and whatever might be happening, I can't imagine it not getting solved in some way. I mean, I think Towns is acutely aware of where his place is in this community and on this basketball team and why. Now, the Wiggins thing is a whole different deal. I don't know what to say. I mean, he's got the max deal coming up. He's maddeningly frustrating to watch, especially when you watch the playoffs right now. You think that he is development, even though he's rookie of the year. He's got a wealth of talent, but there seems to be, again, the body language being what it is, what works against him because he's such a laid-back guy. That fans go, I want to see some fire in his belly. Well, he's not going to be in that way any more than, you know, Bud Grant was on the sidelines coaching, or even when Maurer was in the prime of his career, not having any excess emotion, or Tony Dungy on the sidelines as the coach. That's his personality, but you want to see him play better. I don't care about his emotion.
Final break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and also the other local basketball team started their season yesterday. And again, I'll up the ante again on the tees. Bigger they are, harder they fall. We'll see what Rosie thinks next on the Fan.
After 40-plus years, he still brings the heat. It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on the Fan.
Hey, it's Chris Hockey from NFS Weight Control Center.
Yeah.
Budweiser is giving you the chance to head on out to Canterbury Park for an exclusive viewing of the majestic Clydesdale horses. Head to KFAN.com, keyword contest to register.
We hear you're leaving, that's okay. I thought our little wild time had just begun. I guess you kind of scared yourself. You told
And if you have a change of heart, Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want to call nobody else. Send it off in a letter to yourself.
Little Jill into it for you.
Ricky, don't lose that number. It's the only one you own. And by using it, you'll feel better.
Is this the beginning or the end for the Minnesota Lynx?
I think it is.
I mean, four championships in the last 6 years, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe a little too fat, a little too happy.
All the money they're making, big contracts.
Big contracts,
multi-million
rings,
dollar deals,
banners,
endorsements, already patting them on the back.
And now
0-1.
They lose.
Without the Sparks' best player.
In a buzzer beater.
Yeah. No, it's...
Do you think it could be the beginning or the end?
No. No, I think it was just a reality
check.
Told
you, another Lindsay Whalen story.
Well, that was basketball Lindsay Whalen. She did play off
the
ball.
No, but
yesterday.
I'm just saying Lindsay Whalen.
You're right. I may stand corrected.
There have been more Lindsay Whalen stories this year in the Fish Rod Factory
than any other individual.
Person. Yeah. And again, let me say this. It's rightfully so.
Yeah.
She's the most popular athlete in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, I
And so she
agree.
Be,
the most, the most unique, that's for sure, because of the two hats that she's wearing.
Correct.
And watching her play vintage Lindsay style at the end of the game in particular yesterday.
Was it vintage?
Well, it was. It was a
Did
little
you
bit
record
of,
that and watch it after the wedding?
No, I was watching everything yesterday afternoon at work. I was at work. So I had Twins game on, had the Lynx game on later, had the NHL game going on, the Minnesota United game.
You get paid for
it. Well, it's getting paid to watch the game.
Think of all the other
It's called writing everything and getting it in a
I know, but you're getting
And then what happened? CBS threw us a curveball. I wasn't even paying attention to the golf tournament. It was like the Byron Nelson Classic or Open, whatever. I didn't know they had this massive weather delay, and there was like no chance in hell we were going to get on at 5:30 yesterday. But of course, no one knew about it. So you know, you get prepare the whole show, and I realize I put Channel 4 on because I had all the other games going on, and I said, well, why are they on the eighth hole? And it's 5 o'clock right now. Wait, are they playing the back nine? I mean, the front nine is the back nine? Is this, are they done when
How
it hit?
How did you miss that on your own TV station?
Because I didn't care about it. Number one, all the local stuff, because I just mentioned all the local stuff was going on, and plus the Stanley Cup game, and then the last night, the NBA. But then, so we didn't even have a 5:30 show. So it was just one of those things. But the Lynx game was, what the WNBA absolutely wants. It's got some national TV exposure again. I love Cheryl Reeves' post-game comments. She is breath of fresh air when she goes, I can't even say they had 24 turnovers yesterday. Says, we had so many players out there that I have no idea what they were doing. I mean, she doesn't mince words at all. Now, again, in the next breath, she said, I should have probably played some more of my bench because they were kind of willing themselves to get this team back in it. Lindsay did her thing at the end of the game, made a couple free throws that would have won the game. And credit L.A. I mean, that shot that they made to win the game was tough because the Lynx had three or four players on her as that ball went up and through the hoop just beating the buzzer. So, it was a good showcase for the game. The
did
ring
the
ceremony.
Athletic write about it today?
I think they did. I don't know. I haven't looked at
they
the
better. They better.
I think they have a writer or two.
They don't want to get the wrath.
I think they have a writer or two assigned
to
the Lynx right now. I think the Lynx are getting plenty of
they better
pub right now. Well, they are getting it everywhere.
And they should.
I don't disagree. Yeah, I mean,
did you lead with it? What did you lead with?
I led with the Lynx. Yeah, both at 10 o'clock. Yeah, absolutely over the Twins, and sure, it was their first game in winning the championship. And unlike the NBA playoffs, there was a lot of drama in that game yesterday. We haven't had a close game in either the Western or Eastern Conference yet. Sad, really, using your term. I mean, I think it'd be nice to see. Maybe it'll happen tonight, right? Cleveland playing Boston again tonight. Boston
over the
Cleveland.
Weekend. It was Saturday. LeBron played like a man
them.
On a mission.
Yeah,
and they destroyed the Celtics. And then Death Lineup came out last night.
Steph Curry
absolutely
came.
Destroyed the Houston Rockets.
Right.
Was that a 40-point victory?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It doesn't even seem
Curry had a miserable first half. I think he was like 3 for 11. Then scored 18 points in the third quarter.
He had not been shooting well so far in the entire series.
No, but he made up for it last night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he made up
he did
for it last
little
night.
Shoulder shimmy.
Shoulder shimmy, and then he dropped an F-bomb in front of the cameras.
Oh, did he?
After he made a basket this is my bleeping house. And his mom chastised him, said, when you were a kid, I used to wash your mouth out with soap and water when you'd say
it's
things like
house
that.
Your house we're happy for.
I know. He admitted. It's like, you know, and then it's like in the middle of the play. It's like, Steph, and he was pumped up. And that's part of the showbiz aspect of it.
Well, they're idolized and pedestalized, so they feel that important that they need to do that.
But, again, it's incredible when you watch that team go. And they're hitting like that on all cylinders. And they make a really good Houston team look mediocre. Now, Houston has to have some fight to it. Now, Barkley and those guys were talking, like in the old days, give Curry a hard fall next game. Send a message. Go Bill Laimbeer on the bid. But in this day and age, you know, like a lot of
Chuck
players feel.
Chuck didn't suggest that Harden should punch him in the face.
Well, I mean, no, he did not. But, you know, when you think about the game today and you can. Almost, you know, especially when my least favorite thing is when these guys, Curry or any of them, Harden, they pump fake at the 3-point line. They get someone to kind of accidentally fall into them, and they're like, they push their catapult their own bodies into them, and they get the 3 free throws. You basically breathe on someone in the NBA today, and you will get a foul. And so that's the difference between, you got to be so careful, because if the Houston Rockets wanted to send a message, well, first of all, I don't know if that does any good, because secondly, you might get. You know,
my favorite part,
foul or two, and get kicked out of the game.
My favorite part of the game is when they, in the pregame, they had all four guys against in this little tiny table on the set.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Shaq looked like he was sitting at, you know, like he was sitting at a little kindergartner's type table. He's so
at the
huge.
Kids' table at the dinner.
Yeah, he's just towering over. Everybody else sits under it comfortably, and it's like it was just hilarious to see
space.
Him taking up all that space. It's they need to get. I know they want to take it on the road because I think they were probably at Oracle.
Sure,
but
they got to figure
get
that
a little
out.
Bit bigger table. It was hilarious. We just loved it at home.
It's like sitting at the kids' table
for the game.
Yeah.
So is tonight when is the next game?
Cleveland Boston's tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, Cleveland, they play pretty much every other night now for the NBA.
Okay.
And we got hockey tonight as well, Tampa Bay and Washington.
Well, how about that? The Vegas, an expansion club, that basically all the other teams in the league said, yeah, you can pick from this riffraff we've got available. And
I wouldn't exactly call them riffraff, but they...
Well, but you know what I mean.
I
not
know.
Their best players.
No, of course not.
They should have been third liners. It's still riffraff. It's not elite players. They didn't
take. Marc-Andre Fleury was the most, you know... That was the biggest acquisition they had, and he won Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh. And when you spend $500 million on a franchise, you're going to get better than the norm, better than what the Wild got when they and Columbus got when they were awarded expansion franchises. Again, no one thought this was going to happen. Of course not, even with the players that they have, and now you have a storyline that's again back when the North Stars came into existence, the St. Louis Blues went to the Stanley Cup Finals their first year.
But they was because all the expansion teams were in one division.
Right, correct.
And all the
so someone had to
it
go.
It was 6-6.
Correct.
So it was either going to be Minnesota, St. Louis, the Oakland Seals.
Oakland Seals, do you remember that? Yeah, I remember Red Barons.
Philadelphia,
the goal,
and who was the sixth? Because it was Philly, Pittsburgh, Oakland, St. Louis, Minnesota.
That's pretty good.
And one other, I think.
I can't remember.
So it would have been one other club.
Yeah, and they were all there.
And so one of those had to go.
The Blues had a legitimately good team.
Yes, they did.
The Barkley.
Matter of fact, if I... Tell me if my memory is failing me. St. Louis got to the championship, got to the Stanley Cup Finals that first season, beating Minnesota in the
overtime.
Division finals in overtime 2-1 in game 7. It was game 7.
I believe it was.
I think it was game 7. So that's how close the North Stars were to being instead of the Blues.
Right.
And then did the Blues play, was it Chicago in that, or was it Montreal?
Was
it
Bruins?
I think it was Bruins.
Wasn't that the iconic shot of Bobby Orr going flying?
That may have been it.
The gold mouth after he scored the game-winning goal. So
I don't even recall, did Boston win that series handily, or was it close?
I don't remember. I really don't.
It's going to be, maybe you can look. It was 1967-68, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was close or not, but the... anyways, I said bigger they are, the harder they fall. What I mean is, when your expectations are bigger, is the hall of the fall more? Not that Twins have fallen.
But going
into this season, you know, we were all kind of thinking we've upgraded the starting rotation.
Right.
We've upgraded the bullpen. Mm-hmm. We brought Lomo in. We got Sano and Buxton another year seasoned and
Dozier,
Kepler and this and that, and you know, everybody's thinking, wow, we might, and we still could fight for the division. I'm not saying it's over. But you know, when your it's tougher to accept when you're when the expectations are, right. Boy, it's going to be good, because right now they're not living up to the you can say it's for a variety of reasons, but those reasons are part of sports. Injuries to Buxton.
Sure.
Sano's not been healthy.
Right. Maurer's now hurt.
Maurer's now hurt. For it's some
considerable time, it looks like.
This isn't going the way I think.
No, and yet there are enough bright spots. Number one, the biggest bright spot is we're in the worst division in baseball, and Cleveland continues. Yeah. The Twins continue to be only a game and a half out of first place, which is crazy, considering they're, four games under 500? Mm-hmm. Cleveland's not separating themselves from the pack at all. So you have an opportunity to buy time and get players healthy and figure things out. And there are enough bright spots. They just got through playing, again, this is tonight, starting with Detroit, with Gardy back in town and the Tigers, where you have an opportunity on paper to maybe make up some ground. They go to Seattle right away this weekend. They have trouble with Seattle, and Seattle's got a pretty good team. But Odorizzi pitched awfully well yesterday. That's encouraging. Fernando Rodney, who had a really mediocre at best month of April, has really settled in. I mean, he now does look like a true closer, and people were looking at,
I might have to do an apology.
You might have to, because he is, he struck out the side in the ninth inning. He said he had better command of his pitches. He looks like a guy that can rely on.
I didn't think he'd be the closer by the All-Star break.
I know it. So I'm saying, Barrios is pitching tonight, and he's coming off a really good start.
Yep.
So they have enough going for him, but that everyday lineup is still, suspect at best, and I think they are going to. I just ran into Lavelle in the hallway. Of course, it seems like he comes in here to do his expense report. They want to get Sano back sooner than later. I mean, they want to at least have his presence back in that lineup.
He's DHing tonight, and then he's going to play a full nine at third the game
I believe
after,
so.
And then coming back.
No, again,
if I have it correct.
Again, I'm watching him yesterday and getting at Buxton, and it's a perfect case in point. He's only hitting .165. Molitor's had private discussions with him. He gets on base. And immediately still second. And in the catcher, the pitcher, they're all aware of how fast he is. The catcher throws the ball in the center field. He moves on to third. In a blink of an eye, he's standing on third base. This is what he can do and how lethal he is when he gets on base. And then Kepler came up with an RBI single.
The problem is he doesn't know how to hit. It was explained again today in the paper about how...
That's kind of a big deal.
He's not attacking like he should.
Early in the count.
He's overthinking it. Now, again, this is all sabermetrics and analytics and stuff, but if you believe what you read... He still has not learned to hit consistently on the big league level.
No.
He just hasn't. So it's great that you can run bases better than anybody
totally
since Maury Wills or Lou Brock. but if you can't get on base on a regular basis,
can't steal first.
No, it doesn't do you a lot.
Doesn't do you any good. And again, we saw late in the year that he had that confidence level. He started hitting the ball with authority. He started doing all those things. We know how good he is in center field, winning a Gold Glove. But unless you got to raise your average 100 points to become a factor, an everyday factor in this lineup. And that's what you're waiting for and why they have to count on him, because this is how the Twins have to operate. This is the way they are operating. Not have to, but they're operating, and any team would. He was one of the top prospects in baseball. I mean, obviously, he was the highest second pick, whatever he was, third.
How much do you think they'll miss a catcher guy? Because he's out for the year, right?
Castro's out for the year.
Right. Is that
Wilson's doing a nice. They're saying Wilson is as good or better than what's your favorite term?
Pitch framer.
Yeah, he's a very good pitch framer.
But he can't.
Garver's the regular catcher now, and he's hitting .250, which is fine for a catcher.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of depth in the minor leagues. This is the issue they have with the catching department. They don't have a lot of guys that are. We got this top prospect down there in the catching department. They just don't. So you got to hope that these two guys can hold the fort. Pretty much all year long. So there you have it.
Yeah, no, I was looking at it. I wanted to do, there was something else I saw. We talked about it. I think Tennessee brought it up Foy's Day. Rand Ball writes about it today. Again, football is king. So every day there's a new ranking of this, ranking of that.
Oh,
ESPN had quarterback confidence index. Think about that. Quarterback confidence.
I can't handle it.
And we talked about it last week about, when you look at the quarterback, not just your starter, but how you are with your backup and even your third.
Right.
How do you feel about the different clubs and with this ESPN's quarterback confidence, right? Whatever they just call it.
It's just.
Hold on.
They've really run out of stuff to talk about.
Quarterback confidence index.
That's just.
The Vikings were ranked like number 9 out of 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, that aside about where they rank. How confident are you about this combination of Vikings? Because we know sometimes the starter doesn't last. Not that not talking. I mean, if your starter gets knocked out for the season, unless you're Foles, you're pretty much doomed, right? Generally speaking, I mean, it was amazing.
For the elite team, yeah. Yes. You know, so that with Aaron Rodgers.
But let's just say, you know, like where you are with it. Is it Simeon is the guy?
Trevor
we have?
Simeon, yes.
So how do you feel about Cousins? That's not a bad combination.
No,
right?
It's not at all. Simeon's got experience as a starter, and
had some success, right?
Yeah, big kid, you know, strong enough arm. I mean, you think of the backup. And I think he's probably in a better situation than the Vikings have been in. Again, no one expected Case Keenum to be Case Keenum last year after Bradford got hurt and after the first game. So that was a most pleasant surprise, and Keenum has been able to cash in, literally and figuratively. I mean, he's cashed in with the Denver Broncos. So, next in line, Trevor Siemian. But it's all about Kirk Cousins, who, again, knock on wood, has been very durable in his career. So it's not so much the combination. I think that you have to think that way. As the Eagles found out, as we recall last year when Wentz got hurt late in the year, pretty much everybody thought at that point, God, let me play Philadelphia right now. This is the team you want to play in the postseason, because Nick Foles is okay.
Nick Foles,
he's Nick Foles. I mean, and then surprise, surprise. I mean, again, it could be the system. But Foles played awfully well. I mean, he didn't play as well against Atlanta in that playoff game preceding the Vikings, where I think they got a little bit of false sense of security and maybe confidence watching Foles and that Eagles offense struggle against Atlanta, knowing that their defense on paper was better than Atlanta's. And if he had trouble putting up points against Atlanta, what are they going to do against the Vikings? Well, we saw what happened. So that's the starting point. I think it's not so much the combination. I mean, you can go down that road, the quarterback confidence index. You literally have run out of things to talk about.
I like quarterback confidence.
Can you imagine back in the day, they would have had this kind of stuff to talk about?
Quarterback confidence.
I mean, when you had just the same guys week after week, and we still do. I mean, it's news today. I was having lunch, and I'm thinking, there's a headline. I didn't have the audio up. Tom Brady, a no-show at Patriots volunteer camp. That's the key word. I'm going, uh-oh, like the Gronkowski thing. You think Tom Brady, what does this mean? He's probably hanging out with his family or on a yacht somewhere.
He's got something else to do.
It's anything else. Now, the Vikings are reporting this week. I think this is a mandatory camp middle of the week this week.
Otis?
I think Otis are starting.
I love Otis.
I know you do.
Otis my favorite time. You know, some people think that the best day, 2 days in sports are day two and day three of the NFL draft.
Right.
For me, it's Otis, the first Otis.
Love
Otis.
Especially the new facility. And
sure. Should be exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can't wait to get out there.
Yeah. Well, it's my first thing I plan to do this week is head over to Otis. Skip golf and go to Otis.
Is there a golf course nearby over there in Eagan?
Might be.
There's some nice little tracks out there.
Yeah. There's several in the area.
Sure.
That was leading me to say to talk about something else, but yeah, it was.
It happens fast now. We're almost into we got Memorial Day weekend coming up, and so let's pump the brakes, as they say, on everything with football related for a while. I know people can't wait. Personally, I can. I can wait. I'm fine waiting. Enjoying our summers.
Here's a different spin on the ESPN quarterback confidence index. Here's my. This is the same thing. Your confidence level in one of the two pairs of quarterbacks. Snead, Quazo, Gannon, Salisbury.
Wow.
What would you feel more confident with? Snead, Quazo, which was the quarterback combination for the Vikings once, and Salisbury and Gannon was the combination.
Gannon and Salisbury.
I was a Snead, Quazo guy. I was very excited about those two.
Snead never did much here.
How about this one? Kilmer Jurgensen, Montana Young.
Wow. Now, I know you're going to go Kilmer Jurgensen.
How can you not?
I don't even have to guess that. Two Hall of Famers with
Sonny
but
Jurgensen.
No one had more fun. I mean, if you put the fun scale, Jurgensen and Kilmer, what a duo. Might as well throw Kenny the Snake Stabler in there, too. I don't know whose backup was.
Okay. How about this one?
Daryl LaMonica?
No. Greasy and Moral?
Right, you're immoral, right?
Or Namath and Babe Parilli. Give me Broadway Joe every time.
Every single
Greasy
time.
Greasy was good. A couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Broadway Joe guy. Mark Rosen, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We'll do quarterback confidence index tomorrow as well.
Can't wait.
Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hang around. Big Ticket, JG, they're next on The Fan. Adios.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Minnesota!
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.